Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin and get an update from William K. Black, who has just returned from the World Economic Forum in Davos. Since he was the chief prosecutor who jailed hundreds of bankers responsible for the savings and loan disaster of the 1980s, we'll also discuss the fallout from a recent Frontline documentary examining why no Wall Street bankers have gone to jail for creating the Great Recession that has impoverished millions of Americans. And we'll look into the appointment of the new head at the Securities Exchange Commission. Then, as Israel deploys its Iron Dome anti-missile system on the Syrian border, we'll examine Iran's determination to prop up the Assad dictatorship and the role of their proxy Hezbollah inside Syria. Aram Nagezian, who is an expert on Syria at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, joins us to explain the strategic landscape in this increasingly complex proxy war that is destroying Syria, turning its citizens into refugees, and has no end in sight. Then finally, we'll examine a Republican scheme to rig the Electoral College so that the loser can win the next presidency. Robert Ritchie, the co-founder and executive director of Fair Vote, joins us to discuss the recent failed Republican effort in Virginia to rig the vote in their favor and plans to enact so-called Electoral College reform in other key swing states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Ohio. And joining us now is William K. Black, who is the former litigation director for the Federal Home Loan Bank Board, who investigated the savings and loan disaster of the 1980s. Currently, he is a professor of economics and law at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. He was the executive director of the Institute for Fraud Prevention from 2005 to 2007, and is the author of the best-selling book, The Best Way to Rob a Bank is to Own One. And he just returned from the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. Welcome to Background Briefing, William K. Black.
Thank you.
And apart from the topless demonstrators from Femen, a feminist group out of the Ukraine, I'm not sure what happened much in Davos in terms of the fate of the world economy, except that the head of the IMF, Christine Lagarde, says that the outlook of the global economy is fragile and timid in terms of a recovery, and she warned against complacency. What was your takeaway?
Well, we were in Davos to do a counter-Davos activity. And this is the Shame Prize, the annual Shame Prize, that the Berne Declaration and Greenpeace administer, but is voted on, in one case, by a jury of people, and in another case, by the general public. And the recipients of the shaming were this year Goldman Sachs, which is what I was out for, and Shell for its Arctic development. And I was asked to give a talk that wasn't so much specifically on Goldman Sachs, although I did a long paper about their many frauds, which concentrate, their consistent theme is stealing from their own customers. But to put it in broader context of why we are having these recurrent intensifying financial crises and why the World Economic Forum's activities actually make business far more criminogenic and help produce the frauds that cause the devastation and also cause the World Economic Forum policy ideas and projections to end up being so embarrassingly bad.
Well, my understanding, Bill, is that you put away hundreds of bankers responsible for the savings and loan disaster of the 1980s, and nobody significant has gone to jail as a result of the Wall Street crash of 2008. And there was a very effective Frontline documentary about that last week. And I also interviewed the filmmaker of that, Martin Smith, of that piece. It's gotten a certain amount of attention. It may have led to Lenny Brewer, the Assistant Attorney General, who's manifestly failed in his investigation of Wall Street. He's stepping down. Also, there's been Mary Jo White, a former federal prosecutor, has now been appointed head of the SEC, which has been greeted with a lot of skepticism. So let me start with this premise, which Michael Greenberger, the former Director of Markets at the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, he told me recently that the real concern is that if there is another meltdown like 2008 on Wall Street, we simply don't have the money to bail them out next time. And there is no warning system in place. And unless you have more cops on the beat and people looking at what's going on, then we are heading for another big disaster. So let's start with that premise and then, and if you will, answer the questions about what kind of cops do we have on the beat now.
Okay, so the two things tie together quite nicely. I was certainly interviewed a number of times by the frontline staff in preparation for that documentary, and they also did a written piece in conjunction with it that has the direct quotations from some of the interviews that I did. In response to what I said, which was that the regulators had eliminated essentially the criminal referral process, that was not important, it was essential if you wanted to get any major prosecutions. The Office of the Comptroller of the Currency issued a press release trying to refute what I was saying. So I pointed out that our agency alone, the Office of Thrift Supervision, made over 30,000 criminal referrals in the savings and loan debacle, and that this was essential to producing the over 1,000 convictions of elites in cases designated as major by the Justice Department. And again, I think your listeners have heard how we hyper-prioritized it. So that was really the 600 worst frauds were virtually all prosecuted and with a 90% conviction rate. And then I said, go forward to the current crisis, and the Office of Thrift Supervision made zero criminal referrals. And depending on which person you, a spokesperson you believe at the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, it made either zero or three criminal referrals. They've given slightly contradictory answers, but of course three is the same as zero in the grand scheme of things. It is beyond trivial or below trivial, whichever way you want to phrase it. So the Office of Comptroller of the Currency was quite stung by this, and they said that it was irrelevant that they had not made any referrals, because first, referrals are made by the institutions, in other words, by the banks. And of course, we had always explained that banks don't make criminal referrals against their own CEOs.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. But apparently the OCC is surprised. And so it's got no criminal referrals on the CEOs. So it concludes that there was no crime by the CEOs.
And what's their relationship to Lanny Brewer? Do they report to him or the other
way
around?
Well, again, Lanny Brewer, what people have to understand is that there are only 2,500 on the best of days, and we rarely have the best of days. There are only 2,500 white-collar specialists at the FBI to do all elite white-collar crime investigations. Of those, even today, only about 300 are assigned to the crisis. Now, this crisis is over 70 times larger, both in losses and in frauds, than the savings and loan crisis, where we had at peak 1,000 FBI agents working our cases. Right? So you get some idea of how insane. But beyond that, again, if you don't get the criminal referrals from the agency, you don't get criminal referrals against the senior executives that actually caused the problem. So what do? You get referrals instead from the banks about little people, about Mary in Fresno, you know, and Ted in Sacramento. and how they allegedly ripped off a bank. It sounds like a big case because it's a $600,000 case, right? It's California. Houses are expensive. But it's, in again, the grand scheme of things, we're talking about millions of fraudulent loans being made per year, primarily in the form of liar's loans. And we know from investigations that it was overwhelmingly lenders who put the lies in liar's loans, and they're not going to make criminal referrals against themselves.
Right. But the amazing thing is that Lanny Breaux in the Frontline documentary was arguing that they didn't have strong enough cases and above the threshold of reasonable doubt, when it's all about paper trails. You've got the world's biggest paper trail here because it was all on paper. There are boxes and boxes of these fraudulent mortgages. So what I came away with from the Frontline documentary, and I've got a lot of mail about it, is that even though they didn't build a case, it didn't say who put the fix in, the overwhelming impression you're left with is somebody put the fix in. It couldn't have been Lanny Breaux alone that decided that nobody was going to go to jail.
Okay, so again, if you don't have criminal fraud, I can't overstress this. It isn't that it's hard, it's impossible. Right. Mm-hmm. There are over 1,300 industries in the United States. There are only 2,500, in fact, there's really only 2,000 FBI agents on a typical day that do white collar. So we have fewer than two FBI agents per industry. So, A, it's obvious they don't have expertise in the industries. They couldn't possibly. And B, they can't walk a beat. So they only investigate when they get a criminal referral. And when they get zero criminal referrals from the agencies, who are the only ones who will make criminal referrals against the senior executives, then what will they investigate? They will not investigate the senior executives. They'll investigate Mary and Ted, as I gave you the example. So what came out and was confirmed by Frontline is what we have been saying for 5 years, that the Justice Department, in fact, has not done a single true investigation for criminal prosecution of any major lender.
And then what about the Securities and Exchange Commission? What is their role in terms of criminal referrals? And, of course, they have a new head, Mary Jo White, a former federal prosecutor, who there has been quite a bit of criticism of that I've been seeing lately.
Sure. So a couple of things. First, the Securities and Exchange Commission, just like the regulatory agencies, cannot bring a criminal prosecution itself, but they can make criminal referrals. They are not, however, someone, an entity, again, that has really significant industry expertise.
Even though their job is to, since they were created under Roosevelt, their job is to monitor Wall Street.
No, their job is to try to get disclosures under securities law. They are not a regulator of any entity. And indeed, the footnote to that is they were actually the faux regulators of the five largest investment banks in America. And they were for about 4 years. And why? Because the EU, the European Union, passed a rule that says there has to be comprehensive regulation. If you don't do it, if your home country doesn't do it, and you do any business in Europe, then we, the EU, will begin regulating you. And so the five biggest investment banks in America ran crying to the Securities and Exchange Commission and said, gin up a supposed regulation. And so they did, and you know how many regulators were assigned to each of the banks, the five largest investment banks in America? Three.
So
now that is a farce, and it was designed to be a farce. So when you ask, who put the fix in? The fix was put in by both the Bush and the Obama administrations at the highest levels. It was pushed in the current administration by Timothy Geithner as Treasury Secretary. And, you know, Lanny Breuer obviously didn't have to be pushed very hard. He and Holder and a whole series of the people under them came from Covington and Burling, where their primary clients were the big banks.
And that's where Lanny Breuer is returning to, right?
Where he's going. He's punched his clock, and now he'll be selling himself as the other folks who came back from Covington as, again, Lanny Breuer's head of their white-collar defense group. Mary Jo White was at one time a pretty effective prosecutor, but I have personally heard her give talks in her new capacity as a leading white-collar defense lawyer, in which she talks about how good it can be to manipulate your earnings as a corporation.
And now she's gone back the other way, right? She's now supposedly a prosecutor as the head of the...
But the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission.
Right.
And yes, it vitally needs a vigorous regulator. Now, the person she replaced was a farce as well. The person she replaced had been in charge of the self-regulatory effort on Wall Street that no one took seriously and was, of course, a complete failure. And the only thing that she accomplished was that she made herself wealthy in that process. And for reasons that go beyond all understanding, except, of course, putting the fix in, that's who President Obama chose.
Well, you know, I'm getting to the point, William K. Black, of utter despair just listening to this. And I'm sure our audience feels the same way, that this system seems to be systemically rigged to prevent any prosecution of these major abuses. And this is the Great Recession we're talking about. It's impoverished millions of Americans. It cost something like $21 trillion of taxpayer money, all of which was entirely wasted.
And 10 million jobs.
And nobody goes to jail.
And nobody elite goes to jail. Lots of married
ones,
Teds
right.
Go to jail, but not a single elite. They actually did send one, or in the process of sending one person from an entity that's too obscure for anyone to have heard of it, but it was a group that did the foreclosures where the person pled to having made more than 1 million felonies.
Well, let's turn then to the first or second part of my question way back, which is that the thing that I got from my recent interview with Michael Greenberg, the former director of markets at the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, that systemically there's no early warning sign on Wall Street. And if one of these big banks goes under, and my understanding is that one of the oldest banks in the world, an Italian bank, is now in huge trouble because of bad derivatives trades. So we've seen what happened recently on Wall Street, where Citicorp lost a whole bunch of $8 billion or whatever on bad trades. If any of these big banks make a series of bad trades, there just isn't any more ability for the taxpayer to bail them out next time. So you would think that Obama and everybody would be now realizing that we have to have a serious regime in place here that's, if you can't prosecute these people, you're going to have to watch them so that they don't do it again. Because if they do it again, the whole system unravels, which was the rationalization for bailing them out last time.
Being prosecuted is the only thing they care about. So it's not important, it's essential. And they have made it impossible to prosecute because they refuse to investigate. And our mantra in white-collar criminology is, if you don't look, you don't find. So Michael is excellent. He is not an economist. I don't think that he would actually be right that we couldn't deal with the next crisis. But the United States, of course, is by far the wealthiest nation in the world. And many other nations could not. They would be reduced to the situation of Iceland, Ireland, Malta, Cyprus, all of these nations that are, you know, just crushed by the debt. So his broader point is certainly true on a global basis. And yes, they have not done, and Michael's real area of expertise, and he's among the best in the world, is on financial derivatives. And I agree with him entirely. Indeed, I go to him for expertise, that the financial derivatives have not been dealt with successfully, and they pose staggering risks to the system. You are correct that the oldest bank in the world has suffered immense losses because of financial derivatives, but also covered up losses, we think, using financial derivatives, which is equally scary. And the news reports suggest that it's about to be bailed out by the Italian central bank. As your listeners may know, Italy is already somewhere between a great recession and depression. Youth unemployment is over 36%. Its banking sector has not been the thing crushing it the most. So if the banking sector starts to go as well, it has a grave risk of going the way of Spain and Greece, which are in full-scale Great Depression levels of unemployment.
Well, just in closing, William K. Black, what are we going to be left with here? Because I say I just don't enjoy feeling this kind of despair, and I'd like to feel that there's something we can do to stop this this criminality and this immunity that these people have.
Well, there is something that we can do, and Frontline again made the point. So we know exactly what it takes to make an extraordinarily successful prosecutorial effort. And it isn't a flash in the pan. It takes years of efforts. We did it over the course of 5 years, but it was the most successful effort against elite white-collar criminals ever. And it's vastly easier this time because we've worked out the kinks. We already made the mistakes in setting up the system. And you could even bring in a number of the best people who had already shown expertise with these systems. But you would have to get rid of the leadership of not only the Justice Department, but the regulatory agencies, such as Mr. Curry at the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, who actually took the position that this is the first virgin crisis in history, conceived without any sin, and that the Office of Thrift Supervision made zero criminal referrals because there were zero crimes by institutions, which is so preposterous that I felt I was in an Ionesco play, and that everyone would start having rhino horns.
Well, William Clayblake, you've given us such a clear picture of what we sort of know in our bones, and I do hope that people are sufficiently outraged to demand more of the president and more of a new attorney general and more of the people that have been appointed, like Mary Jo White, and get a new control of the currency.
Well, if Frontline may actually have pushed Lanny Brewer to resign. So there is no reason to surrender. If you give up, they definitely win. And every reason to spit them in their eye and fight like all hell.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here, William K. Black.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with William K. Black, who was the former litigation director of the Federal Home Loan Bank Board, who investigated the savings and loan disaster of the 1980s. Currently, he's a professor of economics and law at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and he was the executive director of the Institute for Fraud Prevention from 2005 to 2007, and is the author of the best-selling book, The Best Way to Rob a Bank is to Own One. And he just returned from the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about Israel and Iran rattling sabers at each other over Syria. All that diamond dust, blowing up your hopes, flamboyant obstacles, oh, deals made to cope, ideas in decline, rise of the loss, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, here we stand. Slave to networks, master plans. Swag's the brand, open a can. Chains off still, yeah, I never ran. But